This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission scheduled for April 20th. Should you have questions after listening to this recording, please call the FEC at 800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
All right, our final item this morning is the final audit report of CWA Cope. And we will prepare for that. Yes. Good morning, Ms. Thomas. Are you going to be presenting this morning? Or who will be presenting from the audit division?
Well, I'll present.
Okay.
Great.
Good morning.
Good morning. I was expecting to respond to Commissioner Linhart's objection to the report.
Okay. Any opening remarks from the audit division in this matter, or we'll just turn it over to the vice chairman?
You just turn it over to the vice chairman.
Okay, great. We will turn it over to the vice chairman. Vice Chairman Linhart.
Thank you. We have before us an audit report, and really my objection focuses on finding number four, which is that the committee didn't maintain adequate contributor records. And specifically, we find that they had adequate records for 88%, I believe it is, of their receipts, but not for the remaining 12%. This presents itself, the basis for my objection is that in March we amended our policy. Prior to that, we had considered in the context of payroll deductions, payroll deduction authorization cards, or PDAs, as the sole adequate proof of the adequacy of the receipts, and we changed that policy and acknowledged there might be other documents that might also adequately prove the veracity of the receipts of the committee. And in light of that policy change, the audit division went back and reviewed their records in this particular case and discerned, as I think I indicated, that there were adequate records for 88% of the receipts, but there were not for the remaining 12% of receipts. And I wanted to just acknowledge briefly that I agree with the audit division in the respect that in this particular case, the records that the committee had, which involved documents created by third parties that contained the contributors' names along with the dates and the amounts of the contributions, would serve as an adequate record of the receipts. My objection and the concerns I have in this arise over the remaining 12%, and in part it's a process objection. My sense was when we amended our policy and allowed a broader range of documents, we should have provided the committee with an opportunity to provide additional records that might meet the new standards that we had set. And especially in the context of our finding that they had violated the law in not having those records. And in fact, about 2 weeks ago, the committee wrote to us and asked us specifically for that opportunity. They challenged the accuracy of our conclusion that they did not have adequate records as to 12% of the receipts and asked both for some clarification because their records didn't reflect the 12% was accurate and an opportunity to provide additional records to us. And my understanding is that the audit division has refused to give them that opportunity and instead is relying upon the records that we collected in the field work in 2005 in reaching this conclusion. And so as a matter of procedural fairness, I felt one of two alternatives, either we can proceed with this and vote out the audit report omitting finding four because I don't believe we have an adequate record for it, or in the alternative, return to the committee and see what, if any, records they might have that meet the broader standard that we're now using to see whether they, in fact, do have adequate records.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. Discussion of the issues before us. Mr. Stoltz.
I'll respond. First of all, there is nothing in commission procedure that I'm aware of that would permit us to start a response period over again. I mean, this is the procedures are fairly clear that there's a response period. When the response period is over, then we proceed with the final report. That aside, in this particular instance, we also are very familiar with the records that the committee had. We spent quite a bit of time assembling records during the audit fieldwork. The listings that we talk about in the audit report, it took some time to assemble the 88% that are available because those listings formed the basis of our testing for the PDAs at the time. So there was substantial effort expended both by the staff and the committee trying to gather as many of those as they could. And in subsequent conversations with counsel, he does acknowledge that there were some deposits that they were unable to locate any backup for. And so in this instance, we were confident that the records that were presented during the audit were all of the records that they were able to locate. Now, whether in a subsequent response, if they went back and tried again, they might find something that they didn't find during the audit fieldwork. It's always possible. But there was a very thorough search made at the time of the audit.
Thank you, Mr. Stoltz. If I may, for just a moment, and please, I will recognize the Vice Chairman.
Please.
This is a difficult circumstance because we modified a longstanding policy with respect to PDAs, and I think rightfully so. And so it's a difficult circumstance in that regard, but also because this audit has been ongoing. And hopefully we're not in this circumstance that often because it can sometimes necessitate judgments about whether we should be applying new standards to field work that's already been completed and to records that have already been reviewed. But I do share the Vice Chairman's concerns. We've made a policy change in terms of the types of records that are adequate. And through no fault of anyone, clearly we couldn't implement that policy when the field work was done here, but we have the opportunity to implement it now. And it requires, if we go this way, additional resources to go back through those records. And I think, Mr. Stoltz, you make a good point. It's unclear exactly how many records may meet a new standard, or it may be clear that perhaps some of the records don't. But what seems to be clear is that we haven't given the committee the opportunity to produce whatever records could meet our new standard. And I think it's important that we provide them that opportunity. But I acknowledge it's a difficult circumstance because whenever we change internal policies, there are often going to be ongoing things, ongoing field work, ongoing activities that have already been reviewed under the old policy through no fault of anybody. That's all that can be done. And so sometimes it requires duplicative work or additional work to implement new policies fully and comprehensively. But I do share the Vice Chairman's thoughts, and I do share the need to tackle this in one of the two ways that he outlined. Commissioner Weintraub. I'm sorry, I thought you saw recognition.
No, not particular, but I'm happy to indicate my support.
Okay. Commissioner Mason.
I wanted to understand from Mr. Stoltz what he understands the committee here has. And let me just start off by saying I'm sort of dubious about the value of going back into the field again, notwithstanding any procedural barriers, though I think that's important. In other words, we've had a number of times in my experience when committees have come in during the audit process late or a third time or, you know, whatever, and we've been pretty good about saying no, you know, done is done, you had your time, and so on like that. Now, the difference here would be that a substantial part of the reason would be our own change in policy, but still I think we ought to be careful about about sort of breaching that threshold, because there is a need for finality, and there are very often compelling sounding reasons for people coming in with things late, and so I think we ought to be careful about that. But notwithstanding that, my reaction was that that 88% was actually pretty good. My kids would tell me it was a B. B plus?
Even a B plus, yes.
And in terms of any substantial concern about impermissible funds having gotten into the PAC, you know, I don't think it represents a substantial risk. And that is to say, even if that 12% of the deposits wasn't documented, unless audit knows something that isn't in evidence from the report, that wouldn't lead me to conclude that 12% was impermissible money, but rather just that the likelihood was very substantial that it was permissible money, but without the appropriate records. Could a little of impermissible money have slid in there? Certainly that's always a risk, but I don't think we believe we're talking about 12% impermissible funds, and so. For those reasons, I would suggest if we want to take some action in view of our own change in policy, that it would be better simply to drop the issue and frank acknowledgement of that change, and to say, in essence, it would be unfair at this point to hold CWA to a standard that we no longer impose, but I think it would be easier on us and on them simply to drop the finding with the note that we're doing so because of our own change in policy, rather than go back and consume time that the auditors could consume on audits that are frankly probably more deserving of attention at this point.
Vice Chairman Lenhardt.
You know, I when we were in the executive session, I don't think I'm revealing any secrets. I was listening to Commissioner Mason earlier this week. It crossed my mind to mention aloud that very often when listening to Commissioner Mason, I think I have found the reasonable man. but I didn't say it then, but I'll say it now. I mean, I take to heart his concern, and I share it as well, that we not end up in a process where, committees arrive late in the audit process saying, oh, look what we've just found in this box here. My concerns were animated in part in this case because the committee highlights that in the interim audit report this particular finding is not highlighted, so they, in our traditional process, would have had an opportunity to confront it at that phase of the audit but did not in this case because of the subsequent policy change. And so I am mindful of those concerns as well, as well as the concerns over the use of our resources to go back and open up field work in a matter which is otherwise by and large resolved, and by which, aside from this particular issue, there are not outstanding issues. And so I guess with that in mind, I would propose moving the adoption of Agenda Document 06-33, which is the audit report as to CWA COPE, with the exception of finding four, and would this motion would omit finding four, which relates to the maintenance of contributor records for contributions received by payroll deduction, and that finding would not be part of the final audit report.
Mr. Costa.
The Commission historically has not deleted findings from final audit reports. It would be far preferable to us to have the Commission reject the finding, if you will, leave the finding intact in the body of the audit report, and we could so indicate the Commission did not approve that finding. I think it becomes difficult where you have a situation where a finding disappears from an audit report in its final stage. And in effect, if you eliminate it, that's what you've done. And to date, as far as I can tell, and I've been here since 1975, the Commission has never done that.
Vice Chairman Lenhart.
I appreciate those thoughts and would be willing to amend my motion to rather than I believe I used the word omit in this case it replaced that with the word reject finding four. Which related to maintenance and contributor reference. So the motion would call for the adoption of agenda document 06-33 with the exception of finding 4, which we would vote to reject. Does that comport with the past practice?
I think that would be fine, and we would simply add some language to the body of the report and circulate it to the commission so that you see it before it's publicly released.
Well, let me just state the motion. The Vice Chairman has moved to approve agenda document 06-33, the final audit report on CWA COPE, except to reject finding number 4 and authorize staff to put together conforming language to accomplish that. Commissioner Mason.
I just wanted to clarify that the intent of the language would be to state the Commission's reason for rejecting the finding, i.e., that we had changed our policy and that. Under the new policy, documents other than PDAs would have been acceptable and reviewable for this purpose.
Yes, that would be the reason to recirculate it to the Commission to make sure that we get it right.
Okay, the Vice Chairman is so moved. Discussion on Vice Chairman Lenhart's motion. Hearing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes by a vote of 5-0 with Commissioner Walther absent. Thank you.